So today is the fourth Sunday of Advent where we focus on love. And I feel like I'm hearing music. That's kind of cool. All right. So we're going to have a little background music. That's what love sounds like. And we're also focusing on love in the darkest time of the year. So last night was the winter solstice. So it's the shortest amount of daylight and the longest amount of night. And this is the time of year when we're actually invited to slow down and kind of reflect and look back on the year and be curious about the presence of love in our journey. I heard Krista Tippett, I don't know if you've ever listened to her podcast on being, it's really excellent. She said this about love. She said, love is such a watered-down word, and yet it's essential to get us where we need to go. Love is a Subaru. Or I would say a Toyota. I mean, just saying. And one of the things I really appreciate about our community is that when it comes to the holidays, we're all over the map. Like, some of us love the holidays. And some of us find it to be the most challenging time of the year. So I thought we should just go for it and dive in and just take a minute to acknowledge where we're at with the holidays, okay? So with someone sitting near you, if you want to, you can elect not to, see if you can kind of engage with this question. Are the holidays primarily positive or complex for me? Why? Okay? And if you don't want to share, that's okay. You can share your favorite color, but go ahead and dive in. Okay. So, this could feel like we're all in like group therapy or something, you know? It's like, let's just dive in. So, hopefully you can continue this thread after liturgy today. But what, if you feel comfortable, like, what do you find wonderful about the holidays? What comes to mind? Break? Food? What? Cookies. So many things. Lots of love. A lot of movies. Less traffic. Nice. What? Sorry, over here. Christmas lights. Sleeping in. Seeing people you haven't seen in a while. Hi, Allison. Yeah, breaking the normal routine. Jesus. It's like, is that like the right answer right now? You get an A. So, anyone want to guess what my relationship to the holidays is? Complex or positive? It's really complex. It's really challenging for me. So it's a really good place of some good memory, but it's also usually a place when some of the ghosts of past pain kind of come around. And it's the last few years has actually been really good for me to get to know some of my Irish ancestors, because I realized a few years ago that being white isn't an ethnicity. So that was kind of like, oh, where are my people? So... Sorry, I meant for that to be funny, but it's okay if it's not. It's Christmas, right? We're not going to be too controversial. But some of my ancestors have a wonderful saying, and that is that the thing about the past is that it isn't really the past. And by that, they mean that we carry our past, present, and future simultaneously. So it's okay if the holidays are difficult or uncomfortable, because they are for everyone, whether we know it or not. And it's okay if the holidays are full of joy and meaning as well. It all belongs together. In fact, if we're honest about the meaning faith gives Christmas time, we see that it's really a joyously uncomfortable story. At the center of God moving into our reality, the most dramatic part of it is actually difficult to be with. Like, if we really look at it, we'd probably want to turn away. We'd probably squirm a little bit. Yet I think for most of us, when we think of a spiritual experience, we think about it feeling good, don't we? And of course it can. I used to look for God according to what gave me peace, and I would turn away from anything that disrupted that peace. And I think that's why when my wife and I were dating, we broke up 3 times, because I kept losing my peace. Does that make sense? I thought following Christ would feel good, and it does sometimes, but sometimes it's really difficult. I came across a poem that was shared with me just a few days ago, and it got me closer to the experience of Christmas than anything has in several years. And my sense is, like all good poetry, it will probably make us all pretty uncomfortable, which I think is what the birth narrative of Christ that we're going to look at today, that we're going to be in, actually does. In fact, David White defines poetry as language against which we have no defense. So let's try to come close to Mary's experience of her first Christmas from the perspective of a new mom learning how to nurse. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if Mary breastfed Jesus, if she cried out when he bit her, or if she sobbed when he would not latch. Sometimes I wonder if this is all too vulgar to ask in a church full of men without milk stains on their shirts or coconut oil on their breasts, preaching from pulpits off limits to the Mother of God. But then I think of feeding Jesus, birthing Jesus, the expulsion of blood, the smell of sweat, the salt of a mother's tears, onto the soft head of the salt of the earth. The salt of a mother's tears onto the soft head of the salt of the earth. Feeling lonely, tired, hungry, annoyed, overwhelming, loving. And I think if the vulgarity of birth is not honestly preached by men who carry power but not burden, who carry privilege but not labor, who carry authority but not submission, then it should not be preached at all. Because the real scandal of the birth of God lies in the cracked nipples of a 14-year-old and not in the sermons of ministers who say women are too delicate to lead. Yeah, you can clap. Thank you, Caitlin Hardy Shelter. The scandal of the birth of God. Christmas is about the vulgarity of birth. Are we uncomfortable yet? I think that's a little bit of what Christmas is supposed to make us feel like. Friends, if your life wasn't what you thought it would be this year, if your picture or life as you know it has fallen in on you, take heart. You are not alone. This same baby who was born to an unready teenage mother grows beyond biting and crying, grows up to encourage us, to invite us to hang on and suggest that we are in fact blessed at just the moment we're sure God has forgotten us. I'm amazed at how little this year I remembered God's care and love for me. And yet it doesn't depend on my memory. This Subaru love has carried me more profoundly than most any other year of my life through discomfort after discomfort after discomfort. When new life, new spiritual life really emerges, it disrupts everything. It disrupts everything. It makes us uncomfortable with the thin comforts we've learned to depend on. So this morning, I want to invite us to make a space for what has emerged this year that you weren't expecting. It might have been a job, or the loss of a job. It might be the loss of someone. It could be a family thing you've been dealing with, or a difficult friendship, a personal crisis. It might be a health issue. Or maybe even something good, but it's something like you're just not sure what to do with yet. I've shared, like, I've felt a lot of joy this year, and I don't know what to do with it. I keep trying to shake it off. I'm not even bragging. It's like a problem for me. Really sorry to complain about that. And imagine the new births in your journey that often feel like deaths. And imagine what they may grow into that you cannot now see. Imagine the new births in your journey this year that often feel like deaths. Imagine what they may grow into that you cannot now see. This morning we'll experience Jesus' birth narrative through an ancient practice of the church called Lectio Divina. And the primary setting as we read is the context of our lives. Like, we can move into the detail and be interested in the history, but we're invited to let the words just connect with what's going on with us now in your journey. So you'll be invited to reflect and be reflective about your journey now, and we'll see which words call to you today, which ones resonate as they're breathed over you through four different movements. You may find that you resonate with Mary and Joseph, who are experiencing a gift of the Spirit in a way that no one else could understand. Their experience of God defied their assumptions and the assumptions of those around them of how God works and shows up in our lives. And they were made completely vulnerable by this new life that took hold in ways they would never have asked for. And yet they found a way to choose it and say yes. So I'm going to just explain the four movements, and then we're going to actually go through this experience, okay? So that's what we're doing this morning. So in a minute, we'll open with some silence and centering, just to prepare our hearts and minds. And then I will read the first movement, and someone else will come up and read the scripture, and then you'll have 1 to 2 minutes to reflect in silence. The first movement is called Lectio, which means reading. And as we read or you hear the passage, just listen for one word or phrase that stands out to you, that kind of lifts off the page. And just stay with it. Don't worry about what it is or what it means. Just trust that's your word. It's not a big deal. You can't get this wrong, by the way. And as your mind wanders today, just gently draw your attention back to that word or phrase and just gently say it again. It's like putting a piece of cotton on a feather, is how I've heard it said. Slowly repeat it inwardly and let it settle deeply into your heart. And then after that movement, that silence, the second movement is meditatio, which is to reflect on the word. Savor the word, let it resound in your heart. And be curious. I wonder why this word is connecting with me today. How does this intersect my journey? And it's okay if you're not sure. Just be in that curiosity. And then after that silence, the third movement is oratio, which means to respond to how the word connects with your life today. So it's okay, even if you don't pray, if you're not sure God exists, just offer something up, some thoughts up, as honestly as you can respond to what you sense is happening. You can't get that wrong either, by the way. So, and if you're not comfortable, that's fine too. Enjoy the silence. So you don't, none of this, all this is optional, by the way. So, and after a silence, we'll enter the fourth movement, which is contemplatio, where you're invited to rest in God's presence and care. Simply be with God's presence. Some people call it resting in God's loving gaze, or to rest in the knowing that you are completely accepted and worthy of love. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. And this is part of intimacy, is just learning how prayer can be just being with someone who not only loves you, but actually likes you. Just as we are, which is like really hard to deal with, I think, in its own way. And if your mind wanders throughout any of it, you can just gently return to that rest through your word or phrase. Okay. So let's just take a minute to breathe. If you'd like to close your eyes, you're welcome to. You don't have to. maybe get comfortable in your seat where you are now. Let's just start to take a few slower, deeper breaths this morning. Just notice our body and the space today. Just start to welcome whatever's there. You don't need to be any different this morning than where you're at. It's okay if we want to be, but as we breathe and as we listen, we might become aware of God's presence with us this morning. We might begin to experience God's deep acceptance of our lives as they are. And Lexio, as I read our passage, listen for a word or phrase that stands out to you. You're welcome to ignore the other words once you sense something that's for you. Gently draw your attention to the word or phrase. Slowly repeat it inwardly and allow it to settle in your heart. If your mind wanders to other things, gently bring your attention back to this word or phrase.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." As this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
We'll take a minute or two of silence just to reflect. For the second movement, Meditatio, reflect, savor the word or phrase, and let it resound in your heart as you hear it read again. Listen for how this word or phrase connects with your journey today. Where do you sense meaning invitation or gift in this word. And you may not know right now, and that's okay as well.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus.
Now for the third movement, oratio, respond. Spontaneously respond with some words of thankfulness, request, or anything else as you dwell deeply in this space. Offer some words from your heart to God as honestly as you can from where you are in the journey right now. And afterwards, return to your word or phrase. Bless you.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
For the fourth reading, Contemplatio, rest. As you hear the passage read for the fourth time, rest in God's deep care for you. Rest in God's loving gaze. Simply be with God in this space. Rest in the knowing that you are completely accepted and worthy of love, even when you don't feel that way. You are loved. Nothing is required of you. Just enjoy being together with God in this time. If your mind wanders, gently return to rest through reciting your word or phrase.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Now we will rest. Keeping our eyes closed for just a moment longer if they're closed. Invite us just to take a couple more slow, deep breaths at your own pace. Continuing to welcome everything you notice within you. Everything can belong. And as you're ready, starting to slowly open your eyes, keeping your gaze soft at first. Y'all are so beautiful. They'll remind us to trust whatever happened was meaningful. Even if you couldn't really enter into the experience, that in itself has value. So you might stay with your word or your phrase this week, or the challenges of the experience today. And I would invite us just to hold them with open hands. Perhaps God will continue to reveal more as we journey with Mary into the profound discomfort and joy of her first Christmas. And perhaps we'll also discover how the past isn't really the past, as we're carried with this Subaru or Toyota love. In the tenderness of the Father in the manger, of the Son, and in the liminal space of the Holy Spirit, we pray all this. Amen.